welcome back to Cinema Vino. Tonight we're going to talk about the movies that we were most excited to see that disappointed us the most. It was the
best cinematic of times. It was the worst.
Oh,
worst of worst of times.
Worst.
Stupid monkey. Burst in my trousers.
It was the cinematic equivalent of being stood up at prom night. Mm-hmm. It just absolutely took the wind out of your sails. And so I'm Todd Wofford, here with Taylor Owens.
Hi.
And
Travis Budd.
Yes, Travis Budd.
J. Budd.
Travis J.
Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Travis Johann.
One.
Okay.
But in the Latin alphabet, Jehovah begins with an I.
Taylor J. Ulysses Owens.
Mm-hmm. And
Todd, I'm a bitch, Wofford.
Oh.
I couldn't think of one.
Todd Euripides Wofford.
Ooh, Euripides.
Mm-hmm.
Euripides nuts.
Man, you beat me to it, and that's sad. That's sad that I was on that same wavelength. That's just...
Bingo boingo.
Man. So, we'll start with Trav. What movie disappointed you the most in the theater? What?
Man. Oh, wait, so it's going to be theater?
Not in the theater.
Okay,
just
we'll make it abroad. Like,
one
okay.
you were excited to see, and then... Because I've seen less and less movies in theaters, just because now I'm an adult, and I have things to do, responsibilities.
That's not a thing, but...
That I hate.
You're just pirating films, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just say it.
What? No, I don't. Taylor, I don't do that. But 2003, Ang Lee made The Hulk. With Eric Bana, Jennifer Connelly. I'm not gonna say much about it, because I think I've done it in another episode. I was so excited. We had Blade. We had first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. We had had the first X-Men. All decent films.
And that was a time to be alive.
Tobey Maguire, the first Tobey Maguire, great.
Mm-hmm.
I went and saw it twice that day, and a couple other times. It was one of the ones I've seen most in theaters. But then, so I had such high hopes for the Hulk. And Ang Lee, he fucked me. He fucked me good. Yeah. He fucked me hard.
He's good with that.
But actually, he did not fuck me good. But he had people, doing motion capture for the Hulk, and none of them could perform the way he was wanting to. So he himself decided to slip on the mocap suit. So anytime you see Hulk out there and acting, and honestly, it doesn't matter a whole lot, because they add so much CGI. But with as dog shit as the film was, all I can see is little shitty Ang Lee jumping around, yelling, wanting to destroy tanks.
No.
And, I mean, Taylor, you and I have talked about this, where you actually enjoyed the movie for the editing standpoint.
Exactly. Yeah.
You liked the page-turner cuts and stuff.
Because it was different.
And those, and I 100% I agree with you. It was good. It was innovative. But if I'm going to see a movie, I don't want to always be reminded that it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Because I have said comic books. The reason I was looking forward to it so much is that Hulk is my favorite comic book character, and I had, like, all his comic book issues, even if it was, like, reprints. I didn't have, like, the super expensive ones. So when I saw Hulk and I walked out of the theater, I was so fucking mad that they had fucked up my favorite character.
Yeah.
And so happy when Avengers came along and they did them so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, every movie after Avengers, they, again, strayed further and further from his character until, Avengers Endgame. And he wasn't, even quite the same. But, yeah, that first Avengers movie, that's quintessential Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's kind of in the... There's a lot of bad films that I was hyped up to go see that were just terrible. But the one that I know Travis can definitely join in, because I think I watched it at your house. This was right around the time of the Coen brothers kind of coming to light, with Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And kind of looking back and see what they were doing. And
I know exactly what you're going to say.
They put a film out called The Lady Killers.
Oh, yeah. With Tom Hanks.
And we watched it, and I think we were silent the whole entire time. And when we finished, I think we just watched it at your house. I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, I get it. You're directors. You have so many things. You know, you can do whatever you want. Yeah. You know, but I was like, that was terrible.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. It was basically a thief movie, right?
Yeah. You
know, it was a heist movie.
A heist, yeah.
And each character kept dying. Now, so was
Marlon Wayans in that?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
So there's, in all movies, there's the rule of three. Where you can go back to, you do the joke once, you're like, oh, haha. You do it twice, you're like, oh my gosh, that's great. And then you do it a third time, you're like, that's hilarious. It's happened three times. It's done once. It's a callback. And they've done it a third time. Once you go beyond that, and they, like, it just becomes repetitive, and you're like, all right, we get the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, you can keep doing it, and they're like, I can't believe they're doing this again. That's even more hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just felt flat. Like, there was at least four, five, six people on that crew. Yeah. So they did the same joke and the same getting rid of the bodies.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And I think mine goes back to, I get very hyped up for, like, certain directors. So, like, the Coen brothers was a big one.
Yeah.
I will say this, like, you know, of all of Wes Anderson's films, it was like, when I first see them, I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? But every time I rewatch them, I'm like, God damn, that was an awesome film.
Like Lebowski for me.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but there was another film, which, is it the Farrelly brothers from Dumb and Dumber?
Farrelly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The one film, and this is not going to Dumb and Dumber or two, whatever it was. But the one film that, and Travis, I'm pretty sure you and I, and this might have been a previous podcast, but Stuck on You, my God. In theaters.
Whoa.
If it wasn't for Eva Mendes, was she in it?
Yeah.
Who was the girl? Yeah, it's like,
I think it was Eva Mendes.
If it wasn't for her, fuck my jeans. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely terrible. And you get so pumped up for, like, oh, they should do something about Mary guys.
Kingpin.
Guys. Exactly. It's like, oh, I'm so excited for this film. And we saw that in theaters, and I was like, this is great.
That was a fucking twofer.
R.I.P.
That was a twofer.
Yeah.
Actually, Greg Kinnear is a great fucking actor.
Actually, I love Greg Kinnear.
I think he actually carried it better than Matt Damon did. It was like,
yeah.
Because Matt Damon, I think, was the dumb one. And I was like, that just doesn't fit what he does.
No.
And I was like, Steven, I was like, this is freaking terrible.
Yeah.
And
Greg Kinnear is a great actor, but he always is picking up dog shit roles.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen Autofocus with Greg Kinnear, where he plays Bob Crane, who's the star of Hogan's Heroes, who gets, spoiler alert, murdered. And it's the whole mystery behind his rise and fall from fame. It's a great movie. It's a great Greg Kinnear movie. So check out Autofocus.
He did one where he was the inventor of the intermittent windshield wiper or whatever. I don't remember the name of it. Mm. But it was a small movie, and I just know I was, like, bored one night, and I went to go see it. And I was like, this is not fucking bad. It was about, you know, him losing his patent or showing the idea to a motor company and then being like, yeah, we'll maybe give you some money. And then they straight up just stole his idea and him in years of litigation trying to get that recognition and money back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel like Greg Kinnear, again, as Cinema Vino does, we like to digress from our original conversation.
Yeah.
Now this is a Greg Kinnear podcast. but the one thing, you know, he is, I think, a very underrated actor. It's like, and he also just takes weird roles. I mean, what's the one that's off, was it with Helen Hunt?
As Good as It Gets.
Yes. He was fucking awesome in that.
He was great.
And it was a weird role for him, in my opinion. At the time I saw it, I was like, what a weird role. But he fucking killed it.
Yeah.
You know, when, like, when he's taking care of his dog. And then
Verdell.
He
Verdell.
Wow. Okay. So apparently I don't watch that movie as much as you guys do.
it's great.
Yeah. But what a great role he was in. You know, so again, it goes back to, like, that movie. I was like, okay, kind of excited about it. You know, whatever. It's like, terrible.
He was also in Mystery Men with Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller was Mr. Furious, and he was like the Superman of that world, like Captain Power or Mr. Power. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
regardless,
what?
He got killed by Jeffrey Rush playing a character named Casanova Frankenstein.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say that movie is also in there, too. That movie was terrible.
Mystery Men.
Yeah. R.I.P. Dane Cook. It was like, I mean, that movie was absolutely terrible.
Waffle Man?
Yes. It was like, that was. And I believe I saw it in theaters. Now, mm-hmm. Smash Mouth, I mean, that boosted their career immensely. I mean, they've sold out Central Park.
They're my guilty pleasure for music, I'll be honest. I like to go on a deep dive, yeah. Smash Mouth. It's like
I
deep
like track.
Shrek. Yeah, Shrek, and yeah, for sure.
Shit. Todd. So I would say that my most disappointing movie that I've ever seen that I was the most amped to see, and I've got one that was older, but one that was very recent that I was also pretty crushed by expectations. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I refuse to. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I will not watch
it. It was horribly disappointing. Because Indiana Jones...
I can't ruin it.
It was my childhood. That's
exactly.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of those movies that made me love movies. It's like I was hooked, you know, as a little kid, like watching the boulder, like Indy run away from the boulder and like, you know, escape.
Is that the one where he's fighting people on a tank? Or is that... That's the Crusade.
Last Crusade, yeah. But, and all three of them, really. I mean, I loved all three of those movies. I mean...
Temple of Doom was... pure gross out humor, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah. Temple of Doom was a little over the edge, but at the same time, every time I rewatch it, I'm like, man, honestly, it's not that bad.
No, I rewatched it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not long ago. But then Last Crusade, I think, is the most fun of all of them, and it's just a fucking glorious movie.
That's a battle royale. What's better, Last Crusade or Raiders of the Lost Ark?
And I love them both. They're very different. I think that Raiders of the Lost Ark is a little darker.
Darker, and I would think a little bit more, like you say, maybe exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. After I had a three-beer shower one night and was about to go out with friends who were going to pick me up. And then I guess plans changed and I was like...
Is this yesterday?
No. This is years ago. This was in college. I had a good three-beer shower and then, you know, plans changed and we weren't going to go out. And I had started watching Raiders of the Lost Ark and I was like, don't cost nothing. Just kept drinking. The more you drink, the better that movie gets. It is fucking delightful.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, Jaws is a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark is not far off of a perfect movie. Yeah, like,
for sure.
Everything that you go to a movie to see.
No doubt.
So.
Is Godfather and Godfather 2, would that be near perfect movies as well?
There's a few perfect movies.
I mean would you say Jaws is better than those two because it's maybe shorter, more concise?
Better, no. I mean, I don't consider length to be an issue when you're judging like a movie quality because it's like good movies to me always feel like they could go on longer. It's like they leave you thinking I could watch more of that.
Yeah.
No matter how long they are. I could watch more of The Godfather for sure. But with The Crystal Skull, it's like I went to the theater thinking, man, they got Steven Spielberg back. They got George Lucas. They got Harrison Ford back. They got
Shia.
And then they brought in Shia LaBeouf.
Cate Blanchett.
And I don't mind her casting, in theory. I like the idea of, like, kind of a weird, you know, kinky Russian-Soviet, like, villain. Yeah. It's a good idea on paper. Indy battling the Soviets in the Cold War for, like, some sort of thing that could, you know, end the world. It's a great idea on paper. It just fell completely flat.
I'll be honest. I still have yet to watch it. So was it just a bad... So it was a great story plot, but it just didn't come to fruition?
Yes.
It was like, I mean...
Did they find Shangri-La? Is that what they were looking for?
They're looking for... Again, if you don't want to hear spoilers, you know, go mute for about 20 seconds. They are looking for... I believe it's in Mayan ruins, the evidence of aliens in ancient civilization and some all-powerful skull.
Area 51 as well?
Yeah.
In the skull itself, like alien in nature?
Technology, and so...
Okay.
They have, like, crystal bones or something.
And Indy discovers a long-lost son and all kinds of other crap.
So the most shit I've heard talked about this was not actually young Shia as the little Indiana.
Even though that was not great.
What? Yes. The one thing I've heard the most is somehow Indy was near ground zero for a nuclear blast or somewhere close to it.
Yeah.
And he was in a junk heap, and he pulls out of the stuff from a refrigerator he finds, hops inside, closes the door. The explosion happens. The fridge with him in it, you know, I guess lead-lined or whatever, is rocketed super far away. It crashes. He pops out unscathed and a little dizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It throws him probably 5 football fields.
Yep.
And... You know, I get the whole, like, they think they're being cute with the lead line thing. Oh, well, it resists radiation, but it's like, well, you're basically in a metal
torpedo. You
never
shake a baby.
Exactly. That's words to live by. But yeah, he gets chucked like 5 football fields, rolls out on the ground, and there's a bunch of little prairie dogs, like, staring at him as he pops out of the fridge. And it's like, I want my $8 back. I want my money back. This
you
is
bitch.
Horse pucky. Yeah. And it's like, man, I should have known better. This is the guy that did the fucking Star Wars prequels. Yeah. You know, this is the guy that gave us Anakin fucking mopey Skywalker, took the greatest villain in movie history and just drove him into the ground like a nail.
Yeah.
You know, turned him into a mopey, like, fucking, you know, teen beat kid.
Would it have been better if they would have recast Hayden Christensen in episode 3? If they would have made him...
If they'd recast him and probably George Lucas both. If they'd... Oh, shit. Let's get somebody who looks like George Lucas and just have him finish the movie. Because this is just absolutely, like, doo-doo cobbler. I can't handle it. But I would say, honestly, I was more disappointed by Crystal Skull than I was the prequels. Yeah. I honestly walked out of Phantom Menace, like, thinking, man, it's not bad, you know? Of course, then you're drunk.
You're on like, eh, it's a good start.
But you just wanted to see it.
You're drunk on Star Wars nostalgia.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like you've had like 4 or 5, you know, full beers with Star Wars nostalgia.
What do you remember from the 3 Star Wars prequels? What parts stand out to you in episode 1?
Oh, now? I mean, I'm thinking about like how obnoxious Jar Jar Binks and Anakin Skywalker are.
Yeah. No, the... positive points. Like, what are the good sticking points?
Now, I mean, I would say the pod racing sequence was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that the final battle, I mean, it's like, it basically gave you, like, the souped-up digital version, you know, digitally enhanced version of the battles from the original trilogy that you're always wanting to see. Like, imagine they could do this with modern technology.
Right.
Yeah. It gives you, like, the better explosions, better special effects. And also, I mean, if we're talking positive, John Williams' music, you know, he did a great score. That's one of his best scores of all the Star Wars movies.
What? Really?
I think so.
In episode 1 mm-hmm. or 2 or 3 or all of them?
Episode 1 is a great score.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I can remember is episode 1, the Duel of the Fates score during the whole Darth Maul, Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan fight.
Top notch.
Like a three-way, and you know how much I love three-ways.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a three-way lightsaber fight, badass.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that Qui-Gon hadn't died so early in the series, but, you know, I can see why.
Yeah.
But, honestly, Liam Neeson... as the older Anakin would be my idea of a good Anakin Skywalker. You want to see him, you know, fully aged and you know, at the peak of his powers and not being a little bitch Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
In the second one, it was General Grievous doing the crazy lightsaber fight and Jango Fett.
Third one.
What?
Grievous was third one.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was it Jango Fett in the second one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jango Fett fighting Obi-Wan and then all the Count Dooku fights with
Yoda.
With Yoda.
Yeah, the Yoda thing, that's what I remember the most. And that was number 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the coolest thing. It was like a little bit of Yoda, like, you know, it was like, that and was then badass.
Number 3 was the Palpatine Yoda fight, but also the Mace Windu getting killed by Anakin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, most of it was just the fights, the cool lightsaber battles, most of the other stuff, like, I didn't really care about.
Jango Fett. Politics and the bureaucracy and.
Yeah, Jango Fett, I feel like, got taken out too quick again. Mm-hmm. But.
And it's like, and ironically, I think that I don't know, it sounds weird, but the template they could have gone off of was like a Michael Corleone Godfather kind of thing, where it's like you say, depict him Anakin older. Because, you know, the Godfather is basically, that trilogy is a tragedy about, like, a good man who is ruined and turned pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's what Anakin Skywalker should be. It's like somebody who is powerful and could be the ultimate, like, good and do a lot of good, but ultimately, like, he falls and it destroys everything. Ruins his family, ruins his friendships, you know, ruins everything he believed in this pursuit of, you know, protecting his family. In the name of what he thinks is doing good, he destroys everything.
That's exactly what I would hope that the MCU does with Doctor Doom in Phase 4, since they've gotten the Fantastic Four. I hope they learn from those Vader mistakes. And Vader was... one of the characters he was taken off of was Doctor Doom.
Hmm.
So I hope they learn from those mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, and so I'm 99% sure, again... we're digressing, as we normally do. I know I said it in a previous podcast, but, you know, we talk about how Marvel has rebooted, you know Spider-Man numerous times. Fantastic Four. And I think I know I've asked this. So you think there's no way they would ever try to redo 1, 2, and 3?
No.
Really?
No,
I don't. I mean, even like a 1.1, where it's like, hey, we're gonna redo this, but we're gonna add, like, we're gonna edit 30 minutes and add 30 minutes of what it should be.
I mean, like, recut maybe. I mean, recut. I like the whole. Who was it, Topher Grace, that re-edited everything?
Oh, apparently. I guess I didn't see all that.
I mean, yeah, those movies, I mean, because it's like you have to subtract George Lucas's ego out of the editing bay, which you could do now.
You can do
that.
That's right. Topher Grace took episode 1, 2, and 3, and he made one, like, coherent epic.
Wow.
And cut out a whole bunch of stuff.
That's a great idea. I mean, that I think you could do. I don't think they'll ever go back and redo them again.
Really?
I think in those situations, like, once you cast the die, it's set.
Tell you what they have done, though, they've added to it, like you said, like a 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
The entire they did a Star Wars Clone Wars animated. Well, this one was CGI because they had tried to do an animated one that was a little bit, and then they dropped off. But they did 5 seasons of a CGI animated series, and they're coming out with a 6th to finish it off, apparently. But that went in between episodes 2 and 3 that showed episode 2 was Clone Wars, and then they showed all the different facets of the Clone Wars, which was really good, actually.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they did, I think they've done Star Wars Rebels,
mm-hmm.
which I believe takes place in between episodes 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Luke is still quite young and doesn't have the lightsaber or anything yet, but there's... In their stories, Jedis aren't 100% dead. They're, you know, some manage to go into hiding after Order 66, and they're on the fringes, but they're mainly in hiding. And I think I'm pretty sure they all get wiped out before Luke, so he can be one of the last that we follow. Then
the last Jedi. Movie I'll throw out there that I saw recently that I was immensely disappointed by, that I actually was like looking forward to see and even, you know, pitched to my wife to go see. And it's like, if I ever say in this podcast or in a review that I'm going to take my wife to go see a movie, it's a big deal because, you know, it's like, that means it's like, I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I have high expectations because it's like, we don't go see a lot of movies together just because I see just about everything.
Yeah. That's a night where you might put on the Cisco CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
get a hand job. And,
Taylor.
Edit.
HJ.
Oh, HJ, sorry.
So if I ever mention like that, it's a big deal. And so like we went to go see Toy Story 4 together, which was great. We went to go see The Long Shot with Seth Rogen. I mean, it's like movies is like, I think you'll like this. I think this will be really
good. That was good.
Mm-hmm. But I had mentioned going into Glass.
Oh, that shit.
I haven't seen it.
I was like, I think you may like it, you know, because it's like, I was like, let's go back and watch Unbreakable. It's an underrated M. Night Shyamalan
movie
about superheroes.
Sure. Yeah, it's good.
And so we watched it, it's like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then I was like, then we can go watch Split, which is like a good, you know, James McAvoy.
I like Split.
It's a good movie.
I loved Split. Mm-hmm.
That's a movie where I kind of got back into M. Night Shyamalan a little bit. It's like, this isn't bad.
Yeah, he kind of derailed a little bit on a few films. And I was like,
this isn't a bad movie.
Well, The Village was...
I actually kind of liked
The Lady in the Water.
You can go to hell and die. The Village I thought was okay. And I rewatched. All right,
you can go to hell and die.
The Lady in the Water? I have never seen it, and that was a theater film. In fact, it was you and I. Was it Paul Giamatti's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then who's the jabroni that only lifts weights with one arm? Get fucked.
Yeah.
It was like, no.
It was Doodly Poo.
He was in Grindhouse, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
The Village is a fucking 5-6-star movie compared to Lady in the Water.
Oh, Lady in the Water is like 2 Amtrak trains.
Oh, God.
And like, headed toward each other.
Yeah. M. Night, and it was that, and then the next one with Mark Wahlberg.
The Happening.
I was going to say The Fappening.
He needed to pay off a couple of lake houses.
He needs a breath mint.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Taylor. God,
that one, I swear to you, was Shyamalan's attempt at a comedy. Because he and Zooey Deschanel, they keep like looking at each other, and they have the stupidest fucking dialogue that's like supposed to be kind of funny, and you're like, no, That was dog shit. Yeah. You're getting attacked by grass. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. I can't get... Okay, sorry, yeah. Todd. I digress.
So, I wanted them all to die slowly. God. I wanted them all to, like, start a lawnmower and then, like, pick it up and put it on their heads.
He does have something new coming out, though, right? Is he working on something right now? I thought he had something that he was working on.
I hope not. I hope he sits out a few plays.
God, he needs to. Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry.
So yeah, went to go see Glass. And yeah. I'm kind of glad I didn't take Joanna to go see it because it was just like, this is horse
puck. Is it really? God damn it.
That sucks. Yeah, because like, I haven't seen it either.
Horse puck. I mean, it's kind of like the Dead Don't Die, which I was also pretty disappointed by, but it was like just boring. It was flat out slow. It's just like this. And it's like, he commits the greatest sin of like getting these characters together in the movie and hinting throughout the movie that there's going to be this huge battle where it's like, you know, spoiler alert, but it's like Samuel L. Jackson, it's like, oh my God, he's going to blow up this new skyscraper that's getting dedicated. Only Bruce Willis could stop him. And now Samuel L. Jackson's teamed up with James McAvoy and they're going to like, you know, carry out the plan together.
Spoiler alert, because I still want to watch it.
Yes. But it's like they hint at it and it's like, oh my God, I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. It sounds cool. And then, it's like watching somebody make a balloon animal and then deflate it in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like watching somebody like pull on a tight pair of jeans and just fart through them.
Yeah.
I always love the giant green creatures because I love Hulk and I love Godzilla. The 1998 Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. I was so disappointed at that movie as well because as soon as they showed, you know, they kept what Godzilla looked like under wraps because they didn't want you to see it at all. They wanted you to want to buy a ticket, sit down, eat a $15 popcorn, and see it in theaters. And then he pops out from the sewer, and he looks like an iguana that's like on steroids and has like spiny shoulders. That's it. He doesn't know atomic breath, no nothing. Guns hurt him. Missiles hurt him. That's not Godzilla at all.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla's fucking strong as shit. Nothing can kill him. And he's got atomic breath. And people have to figure out other solutions. In no Godzilla movie ever did they just shoot him with guns and missiles and be like, all right, cool. We got him. None whatsoever. They were just like, we have to coax him out onto this bridge to where it's hard for him to get out. And then we just shoot him a bunch. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Ningling.
Yeah.
God.
That was disappointing.
I just read a thing today because I was, as I do, reading up on Khan Noonien-Sung from the Star Trek movies,
mm-hmm.
who was played by Ricardo Montalban in the original series and in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and Benedict Cumberbatch in the sequel to the Chris Pine Star Trek, Into Darkness.
Yes.
But they were mentioning how Leonard Nimoy did a cameo in Star Trek II, the reboot with Benedict, and about how one of the characters, the younger Spock contacted the original Nimoy Spock and was like, well, how did you defeat him? And Nimoy commented on the screenplay, at least. He was like, well, we picked up a hammer. Because I guess in the original episode, the way that Kirk was able to defeat him is he picked up a hammer and just, you know, bludgeoned him until he knocked him out. And like, all right, we got him. We'll put him in a stasis chamber. We got him. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, once you ask somebody, like, well, how were you able to defeat him? Like, well, we just bludgeoned him repeatedly in the face with a hard object.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was it? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess we can do that. I mean, if somebody else is like, how do you stop Godzilla? We're like, well, we shot him with a whole bunch of guns and we got him with some missiles. It's fairly anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, pretty lazy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we just had to like say a catchphrase, one last like, pucker up, and then throw a haymaker at him. We're like,
just stop.
That's how you defeat him.
Yeah. You say pucker up, you know hell's coming down.
And
it's like,
yippee-ki-yay. Motherfucker.
And I know that I made Glass sound disappointing. You'll be even more disappointing when you actually get to what they depict as the ending. You'll hate it even more. The ending is the biggest, like, fucking cold, wet blanket in ever history.
Damon M. Night.
Yeah.
God bless.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Where can you see this?
Yeah, we're just venting.
Is it moviereviews.us?
You can find this and some great movie reviews at moviereviews.us. And you can listen, rate, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other places where podcasts are available.
Wherever you just and listen to podcasts.
And Twitter has since been set up.
And at moviereviews.us, you can find Taylor on Tata's Vino Tata's on Instagram.
He's on IG. I'm public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boop, boop.
You can DM the nudes.
Yep.
You know.
Head to at CinemaVino Podcast on Instagram for our updates. And then reviews are available at Todd Wofford Movies on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for all the kind comments on how attractive I am and how I'm the best looking of the three. That's not gone unnoticed.
Travis on MySpace.
Mm-hmm. He is in my top 16. Once you could expand it out from 8, I was set. And so and I put it on. Was it James Blunt just for you? You're beautiful.
I disappoint you. I'll bring you down. Or should I be feeling guilty?
8 seconds.
Yeah,
I said Nam. There are rules here. So we thank you guys for thank you. That was rich mahogany. We thank you guys for joining us, and
thanks, guys.
We love you.
Guys, take care of yourselves. Drink some water.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go near floodwaters. Nope. Turn the car around.
Yes.
Don't drown.
I beseech you.
Mm-hmm.
Always use a Bounty fabric softener in your dryer.
And maybe you walk outside for about 30 minutes a day. It's not going to kill you.
No, 10,000 steps a day is actually good for you.
Mm-hmm. Take the stairs instead of the elevator.
Well, if it's like a second floor kind of deal. If it's a third, take that goddamn elevator.
Get a cup of walnuts instead of some hash browns.
Ooh, brain food. Hold on. Literally. Yeah.
Don't listen to him. Get those hash browns, but then also eat them walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And never pay full price for late pizza.
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
1:23
So we love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Times we